What's the key to a successful plot? When our story is crowded with details, how can we guarantee our plot will unlock the ending we want for the audience? Maybe this episode can help. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Edie Runes and Remy Black, all from Writers Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. A summary of this and other episodes can be found on thewritefocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. That's winkbooks @aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. We're bookcasting with Think Like a Pro by M.A. Lee, copyright 2017 and revised 2018. This episode covers part two of chapter three, One Guiding Decision, Plot It. We start with the single and simple key to using one of the seven plot types. Remember them? They are overcoming the monster, rags to riches, the quest, comedy, tragedy, rebirth, and voyage and return. Here's that promised important key to using all seven plot types. Anyone who considers writing will need this key. Ready? Here it is. Sounding so simple, stick with a plot you pick. If you pick one of the seven types of plot, use it, and only that one, to guide you from beginning to end. You can add elements of the others, but that single plot type should be the overwhelming story arc. That sounds too simple, doesn't it? Complexity is needed, isn't it? Not at the beginning. At the beginning of any story and at the beginning of your writing career, you need a clear view. Pick one plot, post it in front of you every time you sit down to work on that story, and that clear view will keep your developing characters and your exciting events and your selected tropes focused. People will argue with me and tell you that the story's theme or tagline is the all-important guide. Nope, because of this truth, the type of plot is the first building block to discover the theme. To say it more simply, the theme depends on the plot type. Without the plot type, the theme weakens, characters weaken, story weakens, and the whole thing will come crashing down, just like a house with a bad foundation. Build strong, set a firm foundation. Don't believe me about this one single and simple key that is everything to your plot? Let's re-examine the seven plot types. The first was overcoming the monster. Our first element that we had to consider was the struggle to identify the real monster. Two, we need to find the right tools to defeat the monster. And three, we have to sacrifice something dear to defeat that monster. Jaws by Peter Benchley, the film or the book, gives us a perfect monster story. No one believes that a monster shark is terrorizing Amity Island. That's one, identifying. The protagonist didn't have the skills to locate and fight the monster. He needed to find someone who would give him those skills. Needed to defeat that monster was not just an academic, but also a battered seaman. Neither would have succeeded without the persistently determined protagonist. That's two, having those tools. We come to sacrifice. The seaman even sacrificed his life in the struggle. The academic nearly did, and the protagonist would have without the academic's miraculous return. In the previous episode on Plot It, we looked at Ewan McEwan's Atonement. The protagonist is often misidentified by most. People want to pick the character played by Keira Knightley in the film. It's not her. It's the younger sister. Many caught the pedophile as a monster. Most did not catch that the protagonist, the younger sister, is also the monster. She's even a greater monster than the pedophile. She destroys love and happiness. A rag-to-riches story requires a possible, not improbable, dream to achieve the riches. That's number one, the dream. Number two are the steps to take the protagonist from rags to riches, poverty to extreme wealth. And three, that wealth has to be a reasonable attainment. In that previous episode on Plot It, we looked at Cinderella. It's a clear rags-to-riches story. A more modern example is Good Deeds. Clearly, the rags-to-riches part of the story is the heroine's point of view. However, the greater hero, the Tyler Perry character, he's not clearly rags-to-riches. unless we contrast his materialistic life against a self-fulfilling one. In Good Deeds, our protagonist Wesley Deeds has been the good son, running his deceased father's successful family business, while his brother acts the prodigal. He dreams of pursuing his own dreams, but he feels bound by his obligations. Wesley is blocked by his fiancée, his mother, and his brother, as well as his own sense of responsibility. That's one, the dream, and everything that's in the way of the dream. Here comes two, the steps necessary. Wesley has an impoverished life, barren of what he needs. In an interesting juxtaposition, an impoverished single mother begins to enlighten him to the pursuit of what's important, first in recognizing what a true relationship should be, and second in recognizing that living life is not merely existing. Okay, here is the reasonable attainment of that goal. 3, reaching for what he wants becomes the pivotal step to a richness of life that Wesley never expected. The impoverished single mother provides the literal rags to riches. It's Wesley Deeds who has the greater rags to riches rise as he rebuilds from the tatters of his life. The third plot type is the quest. First, we have to remove the protagonist from his or her everyday existence. 2, we have to exhibit the new place as exotic, totally new. And 3, the protagonist discovers the treasure, which contains an epiphany. In the previous episode, we looked very closely at Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen, and we looked at the treasure that the protagonist misidentified as what she wanted, and how she came to achieve the treasure she really wanted. Another example is Deborah Margetch's The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Recently widowed, our protagonist is left in financial straits with a constraining life that will only stifle her. She decides to take the little money that she has, seek a new life where she can be independent and her few skills might provide her more opportunities. This leads to her traveling to India, definitely a totally new place from her home of England. In India, she discovers a world that presents difficulties, but she also discovers people who are charming. She struggles with necessary adaptations, and she makes meaningful connections. This is two. Not only does she find a job for which she is particularly suited, but she has an opportunity for love with a man who is willing to grow in a relationship with her, rather than the closed-off marriage that she realizes she had had with her late husband. Voyage and return is the next plot type. 1, we have to present the normal everyday. In this, voyage and return is very similar to the quest story. 2, the voyage may not be exotic, but it is enriching. Again, it echoes what the quest requires, but the third step is different. The protagonist has to return and settle back into the beloved life. Previously, we looked at The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. The classic example from classical antiquity is Homer's Odyssey. This ancient Greek epic is the classic example of voyage and return. Odysseus so enjoyed his home life that he pretended insanity to avoid participating in the Trojan War. There's one. However, when he is discovered by his little son being placed in danger because of his pretense of insanity, once discovered, he agrees to honor his former vow and travels far from Ithaca to Troy. The Odyssey presents his voyage home 10 long years after being 10 years away at war. Among the things that delay his return are his stupid offense to the gods, more than one encounter with monsters, people who create problems as well, lovely distractions, and outright imprisonment. That's 2. Here's 3. Even when he reaches home, he's not home, for outsiders are trying to take his place, and no one recognizes him. Thank God Odysseus is clever, for he figures out a way to reintroduce himself to his son, who's now 21 years old, discover who his loyal servants are, defeat the invading outsiders, and determine if his wife still loves him after 2 decades away. I'm not sure I would. The 3 elements of comedy, curiously enough, are 1, the protagonist has to confront some kind of adversity that Adversity is deepened through a series of confusing events, and the climax clears up all confusion and grants the protagonist the original goal, which has transformed in an unexpected way. The best example of these adversities and confusing events is William Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream, and that's what we looked at in the previous episode on plotting. This time, however, we need to look at nonfiction. Nonfiction can easily use all of the 7 plotting methods. A Walk in the Woods by Bill Bryson is a good example for comedy, not just because most of it is laugh-out-loud funny. I can remember reading it to myself late at night and laughing as I was sitting up in bed. Tasked with walking the Appalachian Trail, Bill Bryson enlists the help of a buddy he hasn't seen in years. That's adversity, isn't it? Trying to do the Appalachian Trail and doing it with a buddy you really don't know because people change. Both of them are out of shape, another adversity. They start walking the 2100-mile trail, beginning in Georgia and going north to Maine. Here's the confusing events. They meet many different adventurers, some who are fellow hikers, some who merely live near the trail but never think about it. Bryson shares the difficulties of hiking over the mountainous terrain in all sorts of weather over such an extended length of time. He begins looking for a method to alter his original goal, hop, skip, and jump. He reaches the inn, Mount Contadin in Maine. Along the way, we get Bryson's humor and unique perspective, which is the whole reason we're reading A Walk in the Woods. We used Bonnie and Clyde in the last episode to display tragedy. Bonnie and Clyde perfectly exhibits those decision, driving, and irrevocable steps more clearly. But our best example is Macbeth. 1, we're looking at a protagonist. He drives to their own destruction. 2, they take an irrevocable step. Doesn't matter what they do after that. Tragedy is going to occur. And 3, we see them confronting their doom. The best example is William Shakespeare's Macbeth. Macbeth wants to be king. There's his pride. The witches prophesy that he will be king. His wife presents a plan to kill the king to make Macbeth king. This plan will turn his dream into reality. So they kill the king and 2 innocent guards. That's 1. No one says anything. Not even Macbeth's best friend Banquo, the only person who might have guessed at Macbeth's secret ambition, because Banquo might have suspected Macbeth of killing the former king, because Banquo was also prophesied that he would become king after Macbeth. So Macbeth has to become king so Banquo's descendants can become king. Because Banquo might have suspected Macbeth of killing the former king, Macbeth kills his best friend forever. Oops, there's an irrevocable step, because that leads to the ghost, and the ghost leads to everyone thinking Macbeth is insane, to everyone believing Macbeth is insane, to Macbeth's paranoia, and just on and on and on. Banquo's ghost comes to the banquet. Macbeth's behavior causes questions, and questions lead to rebellion. So Macbeth kills more people, trying to stop the rebellion, but that backfires. An army marches against him. He meets Macduff, whose family Macbeth had killed, and cries, "Leon Macduff, be damned to him who cries, hold, enough!" And Macduff kills him offstage and comes back swinging Macbeth's head. Rebirth is transformation through reformation. 1, the protagonist is awakened to the need for a better life. 2, he or she attempts to change with stumbling steps and flashes of insight. And 3, the new self emerges in a new place. So, I particularly like A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens for rebirth. That is what I looked at in the previous episode on Plot It. We have those enlightening steps that create the transformation through ghost. It's wonderful. An older example of the rebirth story is The Beauty and the Beast. The Beast terrifies everyone and kills anyone who steals one of his magical roses. When he threatens a merchant, the man promises that his daughter will come and live with Beast. Gradually, her kindness and compassion begin to transform his heart, just as he begins to transform her heart. However, both of them still hesitate, for his physical appearance serves as an obstacle between them. The curse that originally transformed him can only be broken by true love. That's 2. An obstacle almost prevents Beauty from telling of her love. In story, interfering families have a lot to answer for. But she does tell him, giving her heart because she feared he was dying. He is then physically transformed back into the man he once was, but he is no longer that man, having been intellectually and spiritually transformed by her love. I hope you have enjoyed this second look at the seven types of plot. Doing this activity for yourself can be a revelation for writers. Find your own examples of the seven types of plot and fit them to the three requirements for each. Try to find one old and one new, one print, one film. Doesn't matter, as long as you have two completely different stories. Then strip that story down to the basic elements, those one, two, three things, and you'll be enlightened at how all those stories follow that. Now, do you have to follow the tropes for those seven types of plot? No, that depends upon your story arc. And that will be our next focus on the right focus when we look at the third part of the plotted chapter, One Guiding Decision. Until next Wednesday, right on.